This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by You Build It. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Happening now.
It was a abruptly scheduled press conference. Happened at about 4:35. Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, alongside other officials, alerted us to an election security issue, announcing that they've confirmed that both Iran and Russia have taken actions to influence this election. They have obtained some voter registration data. We do not know what data specifically has been claimed. Part of the implications, because they mentioned emails, is that email addresses have been obtained. Now, they want to make sure that you understand that the election is, in fact, secure. That this is not a partisan issue. That this is not a time to tolerate any kind of foreign interference. As Christopher Wray said, FBI director said, you should be confident that your vote counts. And they came out in part to provide that confidence. But part of the confidence for them is to be open about what happened. And we're still trying to piece together some of the specifics, but we know that Iran has been sending out spoofed emails designed to intimidate voters, create civil unrest, and hurt Donald Trump. Now, we believe we have a copy of some of the email that was sent out. It was sent out in an attempt to show that pro-Trump supporters were intimidating Biden supporters, but it turns out it was false. It's simply an attempt to get media outlets, as many did apparently, and groups like the Liberty Project, to attack President Trump and his purported supporters. In this case, an email came from the official Proud Boys website, and it says, hello, and it includes your name. We are in possession of all your information. You are currently registered as a Democrat, and we know this because we have gained access into your entire voting infrastructure. You will vote for Trump on Election Day, or we will come after you. Change your party affiliation to Republican to let us know you received our message and will comply. We will know which candidate you voted for. I would take this seriously if I were you. It includes the voter's address. So now we believe that the address part was also taken. Now, this was delivered, apparently, to a lot of people in Florida. And FloridaToday.com spoke with some folks who were out there who got this, including an 85-year-old man. And his takeaway was the takeaway that the spoofed email was intended to create. Donald Schwinn, 85 years old, at a Melbourne beach, said they're trying to scare people into voting for Trump. It makes me ashamed to be an American to think that such a group would do such a thing, threaten voters. Except the threat didn't actually come from the Proud Boys. Didn't come from the Proud Boys. In fact, just looking at the official ProudBoys.com website, the domain, was inactive yesterday. And according to WUFT television, the website may have never been even affiliated with the Proud Boys group officially, although they do say that it was created back in March of 2017. Now, this was news that was elevated, again, by groups like the Lincoln Project, which is a Never Trump group. There is another one that apparently is a completely false story, but we're still trying to figure this out. The new Borat movie apparently includes a compromise scene with Rudy Giuliani. It went very, very, very viral on Twitter. Apparently that is also completely false. So a lot of this stuff is happening at the same time. Some of it, as they say, clearly tied to election interference. Other parts of this not probably having anything to do with a foreign entity, but by people who are trying to go after the Trump campaign. Election interference is bad, we're told over and over and over again. Except, I guess, when it happens to Donald Trump. Because over on the CNN side, Joe Lockhart is questioning all of this. What evidence is there that Iran tried to hurt Trump? They provided the evidence, that email. Notice that FBI director did not mention Trump was the target of Iran's effort. I trust Ray, not Ratcliffe. It's because Ratcliffe literally just started by saying all of those details, and then Director Ray added details not previously disclosed. Do you think that FBI Director Christopher Wray would show up to that event, that press conference, knowing that Ratcliffe was making something up about them going after Donald Trump? Is that what you believe, Joe Lockhart? And then a whole bunch of just bizarre tweets. At what point should we care that all of our enemies are working to elect Trump? Iran joins the list tonight. No, dum-dum. That's not at all what was said. The opposite. He then tweets, Iran endorses Trump, Russia endorses Trump, Saudi Arabia endorses Trump. Hillary Clinton has no chance of winning. Yeah, we got it. Super bizarre. Super important that we know what's going on. So we're going to stay on top of this. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
We have another community in Seattle that is quite literally begging for help. You've got neighbors and business owners in the Georgetown neighborhood. They told Como TV that drugs and mental health issues are fueling a growing, a concerning criminal element in their neighborhood.
I've been attacked in my home. The people who experience it every day compare it to a war zone. Literally a war zone.
Literally a war zone. That's Jenny. She is terrified of just living in the neighborhood that she loves. She is terrified. Outside of her home, people are living in and around RVs. That has been causing a whole bunch of problems for her and the neighborhood at large. Now, crime is apparently up by 39%, but she doesn't even buy that number. She thinks it's much higher.
39% is an understatement of the increase because so many people here have become hopeless. They're not even reporting the crime. They know there's no point because it's not being in, there's no consequence to that.
There's no consequence for a whole host of reasons. Number one, we don't have enough police officers to safely police this city. Number two, we have a council and a mayor's office that doesn't allow police officers to actually enforce the law. And then number three, of course, we have a Seattle city attorney in Pete Holmes who will not charge criminals. And she says we could do much better.
I'd like to see it improve. I believe it can improve. We just need the city to enforce its laws.
They're not going to do that. Are you sensing the trend this year and last year and the year before? People complaining, saying basically the same thing. City's not helping. We're not enforcing laws. Things are getting worse. Every year where we hear that same exact claim, the desperation gets more apparent, more obvious. And still nothing gets done. Neighbors are seeing stolen goods being sold from the RVs all around the day and night. Sketchy people coming into the neighborhood as a result. JW owns Orcas Business Park in Georgetown. He's quite literally begging.
I'm tired of being the police officer of my business park. I need help.
He needs help. The question then becomes, when will help show up? Seriously, when will help show up? How much longer do people need to beg the community to step up and help? When does that happen? Should we not be angry? Should we just be patient? They'll get to it when they get to it. They're busy destroying the SPD. They're busy destroying Amazon. At least attempting to. Should we just sit back and not say anything? I hope that folks realize what's on the line in this election, because even though I know it doesn't feel local, all elections are local. You could send a message that this kind of nonsense that's happening in Democrat-run cities is not okay, and you can go ahead and put more Republicans in office. I sure hope you do. Because none of this is going to get better if you keep putting the same Democrats in office. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, apparently Jeffrey Toobin has a much, much, much hidden past that maybe puts some context to Zoomgate. Plus, Brian Stelter, I guess, gets yelled at or humiliated. I'm excited to listen to that audio. Find me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants, twitter.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in the media?
So Susan Ferreccio is the chief congressional correspondent for the Washington Examiner. And she did an interview with Brian Stelter. And she challenged him on ethics coming from the media. And Brian did not like, I guess, her tone or her implications, because Brian Stelter of CNN, he is the cheerleader for the media. I mean, not Fox News. He always demonized them. In fact, he's trying to make a career out of it. He has made a career out of it. But everything else, when it comes to the media, is sacrosanct. The media can never make an error. They never act inappropriate, unless it's right-wing media. So let's listen to this audio together.
He's running for president of the United States, and this is serious. This is not last year's news. It's whether or not his son was coordinating to get him to talk to these Ukraine oligarchs, and he was benefiting from it. I mean, it's just, it's really dirty.
Okay,
and
Brian, it needs to be looked at. Forgive me, Brian Stelter, and then I want to move on to the Google, which is a related story. Brian.
The Google.
I said it was last season. You're saying it's new. I think bottom line is we don't know what is real and what is fake in these emails, if there is anything real in them.
Yeah, but that didn't stop any from reporting the Mueller and the dossier and all that stuff.
You're bitter. Now, I understand that you have a lot of resentment about
it. Now we have ethics. Okay, now we have ethics.
Don't you dare act like newsrooms didn't have ethics in 2017 and 2018.
Well, I know they did. Don't dare me all you want, Brian. I've been doing this for 30 years. So say whatever you want. It's my view. And I have a right to say it. I was
so
right
on the... Your view is that the news media was unethical with Mueller?
Hang on, say one at a time. I don't quite get what you're...
It's my view.
She's 100% correct. And I'm so glad she's making this point, especially Brian Stelter, who's such a bad faith analyst. When it came to the Steele dossier, there was no issue whatsoever at the New York Times or CNN or MSNBC to talk about the unverified claims. None whatsoever. In fact, they loved talking about the so-called urine tape. They loved it. It was fake. It was completely fake. And yet, how many times did they talk about it? How many hours and hours and days and weeks worth of programs did they talk about that? And yet when it comes to Hunter Biden, oh, well, we don't even know if the email is real. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It's been confirmed to be real. Now, you can argue that it doesn't make the point that some Republicans say. Okay. Have at it. Have that. Fine. They're not even talking about it, except to say that it's fake and Russian interference. We got Russian interference. It's not to help Trump. It's to help Joe Biden. Don't you dare. Don't you. How dare you, ma'am? Right. Meanwhile, Jeffrey Toobin, he's got some problems. Toobin, who was allegedly caught on a Zoom call, really, really, really invested in himself. Really, really interested in himself. And what have I said over and over and over again about him? In this story, there was something more. And I remember even saying, I think it was either yesterday or maybe when we first started to talk about it, he's on that webcam with someone else, not his wife. That was my guess based on his apology to his wife. Well, now a former CNN producer, his name is Steve Krakauer. he tweeted out a whole bunch of stuff that people maybe don't realize about Jeffrey Toobin. Some of it is alleged, I'm hearing for the first time. Other stuff was actually reported by the New York Daily News as allegations. He tweeted, "Toobin has been granted many chances and has largely remained above the fray during this Me Too movement of the past several years. Except Toobin has quite a past. In 2008, Toobin, who's married, had an affair with another lawyer, Casey Greenfield, who happens to be the daughter of longtime political analyst Jeff Greenfield, and they got pregnant. Toobin tried to get Greenfield to have an abortion, according to the New York Daily News. When Greenfield refused to have an abortion, Toobin refused to have a DNA test until after the son was born, and then refused to pay his full child support until her lawyer forced the issue. Then Toobin's lawyer attacked Greenfield for the way she, quote-unquote, publicized the matter. He also allegedly offered to pay for her to have another child later via a sperm donor, according to the Daily News. Toobin was accused in 2010 of whispering, quote-unquote, disgusting things to prominent women, then following her to her hotel room and trying to invite himself in before leaving her vile and sick messages in the days after. Want more details on the nature of the literally unprintable comments? Go to the old Gawker for that. Gawker had a report at the time on this very topic. This, the same Jeffrey Toobin who in recent years, he writes, had added moralizing anti-Trump pundit to his previous legal analysis for CNN. Maybe instead of laughing at or dismissing the Zoom incident, someone should take it seriously. I'm actually kind of curious what CNN ends up doing. They have a tendency when their people are accused of some horrible things to kind of not do anything. Don Lemon was accused of an assault, sexual, grabbing someone down there in an unwanted way. He stayed on the air. In this case, the statement coming from CNN is that Jeffrey Toobin asked for time off, which we've granted. So they didn't actually pull him off the air, according to the statement. What's always interesting in all of this is it is weirdly the uber moralizing folks who end up getting embarrassed. The ones who call out the morals of others as being loose or whatever it is. They're the ones who end up getting caught up in these allegations. I find that a little bit curious. Now it makes me wonder about Stelter.
He's just a weirdo.
Oh, I just wondered about Stelter in my head.
Stop doing that.
Oh, it's not. It won't stop.
That sounds awful.
Oh, my God. He's now making scrambled eggs.
Oh.
In a tie.
Although he weirdly strikes me as like a overeats hard-boiled eggs kind of guy. I don't know if it's just because he looks like a hard-boiled egg, but...
That's mean. You don't have to say that.
Why?
It's mean.
You don't like Brian Stelter. Don't stick up for him.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be mean. I'm not going to point out that he has a big head and a small neck. Why would I ever do that?
There it is.
No, what? That was an observation. That's the difference. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. Jason Rant Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. Jesse Jensen isn't getting the debate he wants with Congresswoman Kim Schreier, a doctor, if you haven't heard her tell you 10 times in every sentence that she utters. But he did get a forum via the League of Women Voters of Tacoma and Pierce County. However, there was an odd moment during this forum where he was muted for a very bizarre reason.
Congresswoman Schreier has talked about the Pacific Northwest being advanced in this regard, and I completely agree with her. I think that we've instituted some fantastic police reforms.
I've muted you because you're not following the ground rules, so I would appreciate it if you would talk about your positions only, please.
Okay. Jesse Jensen is running for Congress in Washington's 8th District. That, of course, includes Issaquah and Auburn, Bonnie Lake, Buckley, Clee Ellum, Ellensburg. And he joins me now. Jesse, welcome back to the show.
Jason, thanks for having me, and thanks for not muting me for agreeing with you.
Yeah, it is. It's very weird. So I reached out to the League of Women Voters to get a general sense of what the rules are. And according to the rules that they say that they sent over to you and everybody agreed to, you wouldn't talk about your opponent, which seems kind of bizarre to me, but okay. In this case, you were agreeing with her, so I don't know if you violated the spirit of that particular rule.
Yeah, and it's odd that, you know, in the rules that they sent over, and I'm happy to forward it over to you, nowhere does it talk about, you know, not being able to talk about your opponent in a forum. In fact, they build in three rebuttals in case you need to challenge something that your opponent said. So it was very bizarre, but not shocking. Congresswoman Schreier has skipped every single Chamber of Commerce forum that's been offered to her. She's declined TV stations. She's declined the Washington State Debate Coalition. Every opportunity she's had, she has turned down, except for this forum. And now it's clear why, right? The bias was just dripping, and it's bizarre. You know what I mean? We were talking about her voting record, and the other part of that clip you didn't play is when I came back and said, "Yeah, I've unmuted myself." I was talking about Congresswoman Schreier's voting record, and I'm going to continue to talk about her voting record. So it was just bizarre. I think what we did learn from that debate were three things. One, that, you know, Congresswoman Schreier supports the state income tax still, and that she doubled down on a carbon tax, her position on a carbon tax. And the third thing is she still thinks that we shouldn't be going to small businesses and supporting local restaurants during the pandemic. I disagree with all three of those positions.
Yeah, and I think that the differences between you and Kim Schreier are very clear, and it's driven in large part by ideology. I don't think you're like this stringent alt-right conservative, but I do think that she is that version of the left where, you know, she's in a position in Congress where, I got to assume she doesn't enjoy it very much, because it's not like she's representing the district. She's representing the interests of Nancy Pelosi and voting the way that Nancy Pelosi wants her to vote. It is still, nevertheless, odd that a forum, for whatever their reasons, valid or invalid, would they choose to not allow either of you to address one another. And I reached out to Cynthia Stewart, who's the president there, and, you know, she gave me a comment that said, you know, and I asked her more globally, why would you have a rule that says don't talk about one another? She says, "We found that the public appreciates hearing how the candidates stand on the issues from the candidates themselves." But I don't know how many far-left incumbents that represent a more purple district like Washington 8 would be all that open and honest about their positions.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the other things that came out in this forum and, you know, has come out through this campaign is Congresswoman Schreier stands by her support for Indivisible. And this is a group that publicly calls, police terrorists on their website, and it's called for the defunding of the police. She herself has voted to cut $600 million from the criminal justice assistance grants at the federal level. And so, you know, I think it's clear why she's dodging these debates is she wants to pretend that she's a moderate. She wants to take the Biden basement strategy approach and, you know, not have to answer for her voting record, which is appalling. And, you know, again, I think that she's had a credibility problem from the very first day she came into Congress. She talked about not wanting to support Nancy Pelosi for Speaker of the House. Her first vote was for Nancy Pelosi for Speaker of the House. Fast forward, she's sending out pamphlets to folks saying she has a no corporate PAC pledge, when in fact she's taken $626,000, according to OpenSecrets.com, from PACs, and she's taken $6,000 from corporate PACs specifically, and she's gotten $54,000 from Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and others that take money from, I'm reading off now, General Electric, Toyota, Altria Group, CBS, Delta Airlines, Pfizer, Coca-Cola. Again, the credibility problem continues. You know, she's essentially lying to the voters of the 8th Congressional District, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Just joining us, I'm talking with Jesse Jensen. His website, by the way, jessejensen2020.com, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse Jensen, J-E-N-S-E-N, 2020.com. He's running for Congress against Kim Schreier in Washington's 8th Congressional congressional district. You know, what was interesting, even in the exchange with the forum after you were muted and they were talking, you guys were talking about policing and general racism in this country. And she indicated that our country was founded on white supremacy. And for the last 400 years, there's not really been as much progress as, you know, what reasonable people would agree has been some tremendous progress that's taken place. And, you know, she said she doesn't stand with qualified immunity for police officers. So what's your general position on racism in this country and where we're currently at? And policing in general, are we taking away a qualified immunity?
Well, listen, you know, I think I think Congressman Reichert puts it best. Good cops don't like bad cops, right? And I think there's still a lot of room for reform. And it's funny, again, I was actually agreeing with Congresswoman Dreyer. I think that we have made a lot of strides in the Pacific Northwest, and we should codify those nationally. That said, again, you brought it up. Congresswoman Schreier is talking about how we're a racist country and how the police are racist. I talked to the chiefs of police in Issaquah, Auburn, Renton, you know, all across the 8th Congressional District, sheriffs in central Washington, and they'll all to a man tell you that if qualified immunity goes away, you lose, you know, droves and droves of police officers because they're going to have to go out and essentially get malpractice insurance to protect their families from getting sued. I think Lauren Culp had actually a great answer on this in his forum. Qualified immunity doesn't prevent bad cops from getting prosecuted. Look at Derek Chauvin. He was in jail until he got out on bail. Hopefully he'll be found guilty by a court of law and we'll go forward. And if not, then we'll have to deal with that in due course, because I think it's very clear that what happened to George Floyd was terrible. But again, if you get rid of qualified immunity, you're going to destroy these local police departments. And that's what I'm hearing from chiefs of police and from sheriffs. And, you know, another story that I've heard is one of the larger cities in the 8th Congressional District, the mayor and the chief of police could not get an appointment with Congresswoman Schreier to discuss police reform with her. Wow. And I think that's just, again, another example of the lack of serving leadership that's going on right now. And it's why I'm running, because I want to be a serving leader. I want to be there for my constituents and for the leaders in the community.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think it's just about a lack of leadership skills. That just seems like a lack of interest in doing the job. I think you can make an argument that, you know, someone could be a leader and still be a bad leader. But there's a difference between being a bad leader and being one who's just absent and disinterested. And I would argue I would take a bad leader over someone who is not particularly good and very disinterested in the position at the end of the day. But I will certainly let the voters decide. You guys have your ballots in hand if you're in the Washington district, congressional district number 8, which is very, very large. We're including Leavenworth and Cle Elum. We're going into Auburn, Milton, the gem of Pierce County, Issaquah, Bonnie Lake, Carbonado. There's so many places that right now you're in a city that's represented by Kim Schreier, which means it's represented by a Seattle progressive. So it's time to change that. Jesse Jensen is the candidate you should vote for. His website, jessejensen2020.com. Jesse, thank you so much for stopping by. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the time, Jason. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, Amy Kruver is going to stop by. She is trying to become the next Republican from District number 3 on the Pierce County Council. She's going to make the case when we return. Jason Rand Show on AM 770, KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Two Republicans are going head-to-head for the Pierce County Council District number 3 seat. That includes Graham and Spanaway, Roy and Puyallup. Joining me on the line to discuss her campaign is Amy Kruver. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jason. Glad to be here.
So you've obviously done some public-facing work because you were an elected member, or an elected member to the Pierce County Charter Review Commission. But a lot of the work you've done is sort of in the background. You've been one of the assistants for the current council member, Jim McCune, who is being term limited out. So take us through how that experience will benefit the district if you're elected.
So it was 15 years ago this month that I ventured into being a legislative assistant down at the state, and that was for 7 years. And in that position, I developed what I thought to be very good relationships with many of the elected members there and policy staff and lobbyists in understanding issues of things going on. And I have been able to maintain a lot of those relationships in understanding, you know, the things that people care about. So then in 2013, I made the switch over to the county council when my boss won the election here. And so transferring my knowledge from the state and having worked with the folks in the district, it benefited the county level because it was a lot of the same constituents. And at the county level, it's a much closer job with the people. So I'm working more with them on Spanaway Lake issues, Lake Apousin issues, even with transportation. So I've got a pretty good feel of who the folks in the district are. Then in 2015, as you mentioned, the Charter Review Commission, I, you know, throughout my time here, I was looking to get a little more experienced and ran for the Charter Review Commission. I was one of three that got elected. And learning about the charter and how that operated, working with other sides of the aisle as well, also helped to put together the experience that I believe qualified me for this position.
So let's talk about the ability to work with others. There is the obvious potential that the Pierce County Council ends up taking a pretty significant shift to the left. You are not amongst the, you wouldn't be amongst the progressive wing of the county council. So how do you envision not just working with folks who ideologically, you know, generally speaking, would be ideologically opposed to positions that you might take, but also ensuring that that ideological perspective that you hold as a Republican, you know, is treated with respect and given the amount of time that it deserves?
Well, that's a difficult question because being at the state, we were in the minority the whole time, and it is very difficult. I try to check my emotions at the door because at the bottom line is this is about what our constituents want, what they can afford to do, and what values they hold. That's what I'm elected to represent. So in going through these issues that would be very different, I can only present the case based on what my constituents want and try to keep the emotion out of it.
Let's talk about some of the issues that are unique to your district. What is something that maybe the council hasn't taken on yet that you'd like them to take on that would be beneficial, not even just to your district, but obviously the county as a whole?
Well, what comes to mind that is controversial, so it makes me wonder if I want to say it, but, you know, a lot of the land use issues or when you're digging trenches and engineering on the land for when you're doing building, you know, it has to get signed off by the county. So if you are a builder and you have your plan stamped by an engineer who is taking the liability, why does the county get to override that? So I have deference for the engineers that our constituents hire. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. They have just as much knowledge or in some cases more knowledge to be able to come to a decision. I'd like to have more flexibility in the codes that, you know, when you have a goal to get to, the goal is A, and you have route B and route C, why can't we use one or the other and take the one that is less expensive that gets to the same goal? Trying to approach things in that way, I don't see where that has been addressed before.
Yeah, and it certainly connects with what your platform positions are. If you're just joining us, by the way, talking with Amy Kruver, she is running as one of the Republicans for the District 3 seat of the Pierce County Council. That includes the cities of Roy, Frederickson, Spanaway, Graham, Puyallup. It's a very rural district that requires someone who understands a district like that versus some of the other districts that are, you know, densely populated. I imagine that, you know, when you're looking at spaces in and around Tacoma, for example, you know, there are conversations going on about how do you either increase density or address the current level of density. When you look at the rural spots in Pierce County as a whole, how much do you think should be operated under the assumption that it grows versus sort of stay generally the way that it is?
Great question. That's something I have been trying to get the land use designation totality. So the third council district is around 700 square miles, But we don't know how much of that is DNR land, how much is federal land, how much is parks, you know, what is left over for people to generate revenue with. And I would love to have some kind of a study that actually was showing what the whole county had available for its growth. You know, eventually I see happening the same with this district as what I saw when I lived in Arizona. Mesa, Tempe, Chandler is kind of all grown together now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is due to we are at the mercy of the Growth Management Act. So a lot of this isn't necessarily what we want to see done. It's what we have to follow based on, you know, state and federal laws. So there's a lot of competing interests and a lot of, you know, different ideas on how to grow and where to grow.
Let's talk about the evolution of policing, again, not just in your district, but in the county, because, you know, obviously, even though you represent a specific district, these questions are going to come up of how do you view policing in Pierce County? You've got Tacoma that's hiring a new police chief. You've got the Pierce County Sheriff's Office that is not immune to the same kinds of activist demands, whether it's defunding the police or shifting to a model of quote-unquote community policing, whatever that actually means to that individual activist. Where do you see policing in general going, and do you think there needs to be a significant shift?
I'm old-fashioned. I want to defend the defenders. I have not had any constituents discuss with me any desire to defund the police. And actually, it was reported yesterday, I believe, on the assault that was done in the district on Friday night. And it is very frustrating to hear these things happen and we don't have somebody responding.
Mm-hmm.
So we have always been working to get more police, more deputies out on the road. And we have an elected sheriff that has that responsibility to do that, to get that work done. So we work, I think we try to work well with that department to give them the needs, you know, the finances they need to be able to have the men on the street. So that's always an evolution in progress. The bottom line is I support more deputies out on the road.
And
calls all the Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I mean, that's a position that is very much in line with what we know about folks who live in, you know, Eatonville and Puyallup and Ashford. I mean, this is very clearly a conservative district, and that's why it kind of brings me back to a question I asked a little bit earlier, of the notion that the county council could, in fact, shift to a 4-3 majority Democrats rather than majority Republican. How much do you fear, generally speaking, of that potential shift in the county? Pierce County has always been kind of known, at least certainly recently, more along the lines of Snohomish County, where, yeah, there's ideological diversity, but it's not becoming like the King County Council.
Now, I am extremely concerned on that, but also coming up is redistricting. And depending on where people are, it could be 4 members from Tacoma, as I understand, that could be serving on County Council, and that will change the dynamics. So this is where your values are. You either you want to be independent and more in charge of yourself, or you like having government provide more services. We could spend everything we have fixing things, trying to fix the homelessness, trying to fix the mental health, trying to fix the roads, trying to fix more hospitals, trying to fix climate change, trying to fix, you know, all these lists. But then where are we going to generate the revenue to pay for these things?
Exactly.
So I like what, you know, we got to have the revenue, kind of
boring. Makes total sense. It's just like instead of just saying that we're going to do all these things, you got to make sure that it's actually going to be paid for. And for you, you know, a big part of your platform is to create that kind of prosperity and respect the people without growing the size of the government. So we wish you the best of luck. We had your opponent on yesterday. Obviously, we're having you on today. I hope people at home will tune in to all parts of both interviews and then make a decision. It's always you know, interesting when two Republicans are going up against each other, but I would rather have two Republicans fighting it out and may the best Republican win than the possibility of giving up to a Democrat. So the website again is electamykruver.com. Kruver is spelled C-R-U-V-E-R. electamykruver.com to learn more about her campaign. Amy, thank you so much for stopping by. We wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Of course. You've been listening to The Jason Rancho. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Coming up next, Ben Shapiro, right here on KTTH.